This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أحمده تعالى وأستعينه وأستغفره وأستهديه وأؤمن به وأتوكل عليه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, and I would like inshallah everyone to listen, brothers, sisters, young and old, please do not distract yourself with anything, nor do anything that may distract someone else, for that will nullify the reward of Jumu'ah. Let us just make this very clear. Jumu'ah and the sermon is a very formal part, an essential part of the whole Jumu'ah experience. This is not an optional process where you, it's not a lecture. So you cannot be distracted with anything, be it a cell phone or an iPad or iPod or any of these devices, or even talking to the person next to you or greeting them or doing anything that might distract you or them. So you have to focus inshallah ta'ala. So make sure that you do not do anything and that you do not respond to anyone that attempts to distract you. And this goes for both the brothers and the sisters as well as the young and the adults.
سبق أن تحدثنا عن مفسدات القلوب وعما يؤدي إلى قساوة القلوب وذكرنا أن من واجب المؤمن أن يتعاهد قلبه ويحرص على سلامته لأنه به يقدم على الله عز وجل يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم ووعدتكم بأن يكون حديثنا اليوم في أمور تصلح القلب وترققه وتزكيه وتطهره جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما روته عائشة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يدعو بدعوات يكثر منها فكان من أكثر ما يدعو به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك قالت فقلت يا رسول الله إنك تكثر تدعو بهذا الدعاء فقال إن الآدمي بين إصبعين من أصابع الله عز وجل فإذا شاء أزاغه وإذا شاء أقامه. وفي رواية إن القلوب بين إصبعين من أصابع الرحمة. لذلك كان أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن جاء بعدهم من التابعين ومن سلف هذه الأمة من العلماء الراسخين في العلم العاملين به كانوا كثيرا ما يتعاهدون قلوبهم فيحرصون على تزكيتها. القلب أيها الإخوة، يعني أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وأرضاه كما قال المزني ما سبقهم، يعني ما سبق الصحابة بكثير صلاة ولا صيام ولكن بشيء وقر في صدره، حال القلب، طهارة القلب، صفاء القلب، نقاء القلب. بعض الناس يسأل يقول طيب ما بال أولئك الذين يتعودون على مسألة أنه يعني يرتاح الإنسان إلى أهله وماله والضيعات، وليس هذا من فساد القلب ولكن هذه من الأمور التي جبل الإنسان عليها. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما جاءه أصحابه يشتكون كحنظل بن أبي عامر وأبي بكر رضي الله عنه فقالوا له اشتكوا له ذلك، قالوا ما لنا إذا كنا عندك رقت قلوبنا وزهدنا في الدنيا وكنا من أهل الآخرة فإذا خرجنا من عندك فآنسنا أهلنا أو فآنسنا أهلنا وشممنا أولادنا أنكرنا أنفسنا. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو أنكم إذا خرجتم من عندي كنتم على حالكم ذلك لزارتكم الملائكة في بيوتكم، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم، وفي رواية أنه قال لو كنتم بين أهليكم كما تكونون عندي لصافحتكم الملائكة. إذن ينبغي للمؤمن أن يحرص على معنى آخر لرقة القلب، هو المعنى الذي ذكرناه في الجمعة الماضية من وصف الله سبحانه وتعالى للمؤمنين بأنهم إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا، إذا سمعوا القرآن بكوا. يعني عندما تسمع أن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه يمر بجمع من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم يصلون التراويح فإذا بالقارئ أو بالإمام يقرأ فإذا نقر في الناقور فذلك يومئذ يوم عسير على الكافرين غير يسير، إذا بعمر رضي الله عنه، عمر الموعود بالجنة، عمر الذي بشره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالشهادة، عمر الذي إذا سلك فجا سلك الشيطان فجا غيره، فإذا عمر مع تذكره لذلك الموقف يوم القيامة فإذا عمر لا تحمله قدماه ويهوي على الأرض صريعا. وفي رواية أنه رضي الله عنه وأرضاه زاره الناس أنه مرض من تلك الحادثة. I promised last week that after identifying some of the causes that harden our hearts, we talked about how the believers, when they listen to the words of Allah, or when they listen, or when they remember Allah, or when they are reminded of Allah, their hearts respond to the remembrance of Allah and to the reminder that comes. Whenever they remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, their hearts respond in humility. And when they hear the Quran, their iman, their faith increases. And very often they shed tears. Wallahi, sometimes without even understanding the exact meaning of the words, you see people whose hearts are softened by the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, they cry from listening to the Quran. However, nowadays you and I complain that our hearts have gotten very hard. That we don't. And very often, while we're praying or even remembering Allah or listening to a khutbah or someone reminding us of Allah Azza wa Jal, or listening to the Quran, we're thinking of all kinds of things. Everything other than what we're listening to. And beware, and we have spoken about this in the past, that hearts may die and may get damaged beyond repair. And we cannot afford to do so because
on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us according to the purity of our hearts. And on that day, nothing is going to benefit us. Nothing. Except the state of our hearts. Not only that, but even in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at us and at our images or our bodies. Your physiques will not do you any good. How handsome you are, how athletic you may be, none of that matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He created all of that. And He granted you all of that. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather looks at and examines is the state of your heart and the quality of your deeds. And the quality of your deeds is a reflection of what is in the heart. And that's why it's very important to monitor the heart. And we said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is your spiritual heart that determines whether you're a good person or not. And last week we recited the verses from the Quran, Surah 8, the first ayahs, the first ayah 2, ayah 3, and ayah 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers. True believers are those whose hearts are softened and are in a state of humility when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered. And by the way, there are other very scary verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about hypocrites being those, and disbelievers being those that when Allah is mentioned and remembered alone, they get irritated, they get disgusted. اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ Their hearts shrink. They're like, we don't want to talk about that. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ And then when other than Allah is mentioned, they get excited. And unfortunately, we ought to watch ourselves. We could actually be of those people, or we may have elements of that disease. When someone comes and talks about Allah, or when Allah is mentioned alone, you know, you're like, okay, anything else that we can talk about, something fun? But when someone talks about Kobe, oh, everybody's excited. Oh, everybody has something to say. When we talk about these kind of things, or celebrities and people that really don't care about you, and they don't care what you think of them, we get excited. And we're all of a sudden part of the conversation. But when it's about Allah, or anything that has to do with Allah, when it's a reminder that addresses the heart, we get irritated. This is a sign of a diseased heart. And that's why we have to catch ourselves. So how can we fix that? I promise you that this will be, inshallah, the focus of today's khutbah. 10 things. Remember them. First and foremost, remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. أُمُورٌ تُرَقِّقُ الْقَلْبَ وَتُزَكِّيهِ وَتُطَهِّرُهُ الْمُدَاوَمَةُ عَلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers to be الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Those who believe and whose hearts find peace and serenity in the remembrance of Allah. And then Allah says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ Indeed, in the remembrance of Allah, hearts find peace and tranquility. A man complained to Al-Hasan. شكى رجل إلى الحسن قساوة قلبه فقال أدنه من الذكر He said, my heart is like a rock. He said, bring it closer to the remembrance of Allah. Gradually. Because it's a tough thing. It's not easy. And I'm not talking about just saying subhanAllah alhamdulillah once in a while. No, we're talking about mudawama. Continuously to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a regular basis. And when I say remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, remember, contemplate, ponder, think about what you say. You know, very often we sit and we say, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah. Sometimes you see people doing tasbih or dhikr. Subhanallah, 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 subhanAllah. What is that? That's not dhikr. Say the whole thing. SubhanAllah. And think about it. And sit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru Allaha dhikran kathira. Oh, you who believe, remember Allah much. The remembrance of Allah clears the heart. And as Al-Hasan rahimahullah said, مَجَالِسُ الذِّكْرِ مَحْيَاةُ الْعِلْمِ وَتُحْدِثُ فِي الْقَلْبِ الْخُشُوعِ He said that the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, it revives the knowledge and it produces in the heart humility. And that's what we want. That's exactly what we want. So the remembrance of Allah, remember Allah Azza wa Jal, constantly, always, and that will bring peace and tranquility to your heart. And I know that it's not easy. Some, you know, it's not easy, but you need to get used to it. And in order for you to really get used to it and love to do it, one of the advices is to know about Allah Azza wa Jal. Learn about Allah. We don't know enough about Allah Azza wa Jal. When you get to know about Allah Azza wa Jal, you will love Allah. When you love Allah, you will remember Him much. Number two, reading the Quran. Reading the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. In fact, reading, and I was just, subhanAllah, you know, looking this today, there's a difference between reading and reciting the Quran. So reading and actually reciting the Quran. Well, I mean, in English it will not make any sense, but the word that is used in the Quran is tilawa. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. And there is a difference between tilawa and qira'ah. Qira'ah is more general. Any tilawa is qira'ah. But tilawa is more specific. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the believers do tilawa. From talawa. It is reading with the intention and the determination to follow. Yatlu. Tala. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the night follows the day. Right? So it is reading with the intent and the determination to follow what you're reading. And in order to follow what you're reading, you have to ponder upon it. And what the Quran does is the Quran exposes us. You see, if we allow full access, if we allow the Quran full access to our hearts, wallahi, it will purify it. Because that is one of the functions and one of the benefits of reading the Quran. But we need to read it with the intention to follow it. That's why one of the Sahaba said, مَا عَرَضْتُ نَفْسِي عَلَىٰ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا وَجَدْتُنِي مِنَ الرَّاسِخِينَ فِي النِّفَاقِ. Out of his humility, he said that every time I expose myself or to the Qur'an or I look at myself through the Qur'an, I find myself to be well established in hypocrisy. See, the Qur'an has, what he meant is that the Qur'an basically exposes him. And this is out of his humility. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. They were very humble people. Now we read the Quran, we think we're the best of the believers. The Quran exposes you. And the Quran answers your questions. But it will fix the heart. Sometimes it's a painful process, but it's very necessary. So reading the Quran. Number three, maintaining the fara'id. Al-muhafazatu ala al-fara'id. Fara'id are the obligatory acts, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated us to do. You see, many people sometimes, when they want to do, to heal the heart, and when they want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they try to engage or do some voluntary deeds. But they neglect the mandatory deeds, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do. There is no way your heart will be purified if you do not get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know that reading the Quran will bring you closer to Allah. Remembrance of Allah will bring you closer to Allah. But there is something that will bring you even closer to Allah. And it's even more important than those two. And that is to obey the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. In fact, Allah said that, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My servant, my slave will not get closer to me than anything, with anything or through any means, better and more beloved to me than that which I have obligated him to do. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly in the Quran tells us that it is the nature of salah. Allah didn't make us pray five times a day because He wants to basically aggravate us and He really needs us to pray five times a day. Wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need it. In fact, Allah said, if all of you, if all mankind were to come together and have the heart of the most pure, of the purest and of the most pious of all of them, that will not increase Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kingdom in any way. مَا زَادَ ذَلِكَ فِي مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. And if everyone was to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be harmed in any way. But it is for our own good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that you and I need 5 times a day to pull out of this busy lifestyle that we have, this lifestyle that poisons the heart and ruins the soul. We need to pull out 5 times a day, take a break, take a time out, 5 times a day. We have 5 timeouts. Come and try to refocus and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connect with our master, with our ultimate coach, so we can be directed 5 times a day. We need to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, it is salah by design purifies us. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. It's a purification process. So a person who does not pray 5 times a day, who turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ignores the call of Allah azza wa jalla, there is no way. I mean, that person is headed towards damnation. That person, his heart is dying. So you need that. Then after that, the fourth principle, al-iktharu min al-nawafil wa al-ta'at, to do voluntary deeds, nafil. And I tell you, when you connect with salah, with the fard, and you fall in love with salah, and it becomes the most beloved thing that you can do, the most beloved activity, just like it was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you get a taste of it, you will not have enough. You will want to do more, so you will be more keen on praying the sunnah before and after, whenever you can. And you become so connected to it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my servant, that Allah the Almighty said that my servant continues to do those voluntary deeds. مَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. That the person continues to do, go out of his way or her way to do good deeds, to get closer to Allah until Allah loves them. You know, when someone comes, when your employer pays you, gives you your paycheck at the end of the month, you don't go to them and say, oh, thank you very much, I really love you for doing this. Because you're pretty much getting paid for what you do. But if your employer comes and says, here's a bonus, here's a little gift, here's a little extra, you're going to go like, what did I do to deserve this? Well, I see that you're a hard-working person. Here's a little bit extra. And they continue to do that. Go out of their way to make you feel better about yourself and about your job. Like Google. They provide you this environment where they give you extras and extras. What happens? You're going to love that employer. You're going to love that employer. Extra. When you do extra for the sake of Allah, out of love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. Not that Allah needs it like we need to be paid and we need the compensation. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this is a sincere gesture on your part, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who love Him. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you get to do that, then Allah know that Allah has loved you before He loved Him. The fifth element that will help purify our soul or our heart, soften our heart rather, is the remembrance of death. And I know this is not a pleasant topic and no one wants to, brother, don't, remembrance of death. You know, this is very, it's very ironic how we try to escape this fact. We try to avoid thinking about it, like we're going to live forever, like we're going to escape death somehow, that we're going to fool death. It will not happen. It never happened, and everyone shall die. This is a fact. There is no dispute. Even atheists, those who don't believe in Akhirah, those who don't believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, everybody knows that they're going to die one day, sooner or later. So remembering it is better for us. It will soften our hearts. And you know, it's very obvious why it does that. But Abu Darda said, تذكر الموت وزيارة القبور. قال أبو الدرداء من أكثر ذكر الموت قل فرحه وقل حسده. Here's how it heals the heart. He said, Abu Darda said, whosoever remembers death a lot, right, he will these moments of joy that usually distract us and make us forget about the reality of life, that will decrease, because you will remember that you'll become more serious, right? It will increase his level of seriousness. And he said, وَقَلَّ حَسَدُهُ, and it will reduce jealousy. You will not be jealous or envious of people, because you know, we're all going to die. There is no reason to be jealous. All of this is gone. Everything that we have is going to be gone. And part of what reminds us of death is to participate in janazah, but not only that, but also to go to the graveyard and visit. Do it. I urge you, I suggest that you do this. Go. Of course, we have one of the most, you know, well-organized graveyards. The cemetery here at Westminster. I suggest that you go one day. You might want to take a little pad with you, just to write how you're feeling. Go and reflect. Go and look at the headstones. I'm sure that you will run into someone who has the same year, the same birth year as you. It's a great reminder, by the way. Just look at the headstone. And maybe, perhaps, maybe the exact same day. Someone who was born on the same day. You will find people who are younger than you. And you will also find people who are older than you. I think the oldest one buried there, if I remember correctly, was, I think, a lady who was 102 years old. She ended up there at the same place as one who lived 1 month. This is the end of it. This is the reality of life. This will soften your heart. I say this and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to soften our hearts and make us of those who listen and follow the best of what they listen to. أَقُولُ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. الأمر السادس من الأمور التي ترقق القلب وتزكيه وتطهره الإكثار من التوبة والإنابة إلى الله عز وجل والاستغفار وعدم الإصرار على الذنب. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله: صدأ القلب بأمرين، بالغفلة والذنب، وجلاؤه بشيئين، بالاستغفار والذكر. وفي حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن العبد إذا أخطأ خطيئة نكت في قلبه نكتة سوداء أو نكتة سوداء، فإذا هو نزع واستغفر وتاب صقل قلبه، وإن عاد زيد فيها حتى تعلو قلبه، وهو الران الذي ذكره الله عز وجل: كلا بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون. The sixth element is seeking forgiveness and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim said that the hearts rust. They rust. There is this build-up that takes place, and if it continues to happen, it will ruin the heart or kill it. So he said, and the way to basically purify the heart, the way to polish it, is through seeking forgiveness from Allah and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Huraira tells us in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that when we commit sins, there it leaves a mark, a spot on the heart. The heart is spotted with a dark spot. And if we continue to do more sins, it will cover up the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Ayah 14. Right? So he said the way to counter that is by seeking forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal, because that will purify the heart. The seventh element is being in the company of the righteous, of righteous people and pious people. الأمر السابع مجالسة الصالحين ومصاحبة أهل التقى. To be in the company of those people, there are some people that when you are in their company, they bring the best out of you. Right? Your heart softens. Those type of people, you need to hang out with them. As opposed to those people that you think are fun to be around, you go kicking it with them, but there will come a day where they're going to kick you out of their lives. And there will come a day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that close friends will be enemies of one another, pointing fingers at each other, pressing charges at each other, coming at each other's throats. Oh, they're going to forget all these hookah gatherings that they had. They're going to come at each other's throats on the Day of Judgment, seeking a good deed from each other. Oh, he's the one that ruined me. He's the one that gave me that idea. He's the one that distracted me. Well, we do it in this life. When people end up in court or they end up getting in trouble, they point fingers at other people. Imagine what will happen on the Day of Judgment. That's why it's going to take a long time. 50,000 years is the length of the Day of Judgment. People making all kinds of claims against each other. But Allah says that they will be declared enemies of one another. الْأَخِلَّاءُ بَعْضُهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. That they will be enemies of one another except those of piety, except pious people. So you might as well surround yourself with as many pious people as possible. People that when you see them, it softens your hearts and it reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let alone talk to them. Now, if you don't have enough of those people, if you don't have some of those people around you, one of the ways to do it is to read in the seerah, in the lives, to look into the lives and the history of the pious people and the scholars of the past. النظر في سير العلماء وصحبة الصالحين قال جعفر بن سليمان كنت إذا وجدت من قلبي قسوة غدوت فنظرت إلى وجه محمد بن واسع الأزدي رحمه الله. جعفر بن سليمان said that I used to, whenever I feel that my heart is getting hard, I would go and I would just look and stare at Muhammad ibn Wasi'. He was one of the greatest scholars, rahimahullah ta'ala. A man of great virtues. Just looking at, sitting with him. That will increase my iman. الأمر الثامن هو الزهد في الدنيا والتأمل في قصرها وتغير أحوالها والرغبة فيما عند الله من النعيم. الأمر التاسع وهو سبيل من السبل العملية زيارة المرضى وأهل البلاء ومشاهدة المحتضرين والاتعاظ بحالهم. ثم الأمر العاشر وهو الأهم سؤال الله عز وجل الهداية ودعاؤه والابتهال إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى ورجاؤه. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو اللهم اهدني اللهم سددني. وكان من دعائه صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم آت نفسي تقواها زكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. There are three more elements left. The eighth element is to refrain from dunya and to remember how short this life is and not indulge into it and only get of it as much as you need. I tell you, dunya is very distracting. It's overwhelming, by the way. And here's, dunya is indeed darul ghurub. It's the home of deception. It deceives you. It tells you, oh, you can get a lot of me. Come here, chase me. And you chase dunya, and it wears you out, and you get out of it with nothing. You don't get except that which Allah has written for you already. Right? It exhausts you. In fact, dunya sometimes comes and tempts us through all kinds of means and outlets and, right? All kinds of means. Oh, you want dunya? You want a secure future? You know, do this. So now you exhaust yourself in order to have a comfortable future or retirement in this life. You'll be too exhausted, you'll be worn out by them that you don't get to enjoy it. And at the end, if you enjoy it, so what? How many years are you going to enjoy it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِن مَتَّعْنَاهُمْ سِنِينَ ثُمَّ جَاءَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُمَتَّعُونَ. What if they enjoy it for a few years? And then comes to them that which they were promised. How will whatever they enjoyed will avail them? How is it going to benefit them? Nothing. It's all gone. Someone was telling me, subhanAllah, I think it was in this masjid about a couple of years ago, that one of the wealthiest people in his hometown basically worked so hard on to become successful, but he didn't get a chance. Dunya distracted him. That the day he had, and then one day I think he had a heart attack or he had something, and he knew it was it. So as they were taking him out to the ambulance, he turned around, looked at his palace, this big huge villa that he had, and he started spitting in that direction in disgust. As if he's saying, oh, I worked too hard for you, and now nothing. This is it. The ninth element is to visit sick people and people who are, you know, who are suffering or people who are dying, to visit. It's a great reminder. It's a great reminder of the bounties and the blessings that we have so that we can take advantage of that. And also that one day we'll end up in their place. And number 10, which is the most important, is to beg Allah Azza wa Jal and to ask of Allah Azza wa Jal, to invoke and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften your heart, to soften our hearts. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do it. So let us do it and beg Allah Azza wa Jal, because at the end of the day, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us tawfiq, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't help us succeed in that endeavor, nothing will help these hearts. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to purify our hearts, revive our souls, and make us of those who are loved by Him and those who love Him. Brothers and sisters, last week, alhamdulillah, we had a successful event. We had the blood drive. As for those who were questioning or had some confusion about whether it's legitimate, whether it's okay or not Islamically, I can tell you with great level of comfort and confidence, I'm confident 100% that not only is it okay, but it's a virtue. And as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I said, and I put it on my, you know, Facebook, right? I said that give blood, save life. You save one life, it is as if you saved humanity. And subhanAllah, after I put that, the next day I come to the masjid and we open that book of the hadith that we read from, and it happens that the next section that we were reading from is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran. I have no doubt. It's a great use. And for those who say, oh, we don't know where the blood is going to go, it doesn't matter. It's going to go to a good use. To save a life of a human being. Regardless of that, who that person is. Even a criminal has the right to be saved and then tried. Right? Because it will only be used in desperate situations. Whenever someone is dying or someone is in dire need of it. And when someone is in that state, regardless of who they are, it is mandatory upon us to help them and save them. If you see someone drowning, you're not going to say, oh, first of all, let's find out what is your faith and what do you believe in, and you're going to save them regardless. So it is okay. Besides, the blood that you give will not be used right away anyways. It's going to take a while before it's ready to be used. And as I said, you never know. You might end up needing it. You might end up using it yourself or someone that you really care about. So alhamdulillah, we had a successful event. We had 80 pints collected last week. Which is, by the way, is still considered to be a good record. We didn't break our record. Our record was 92. But the organizers or the co-sponsors, Kaiser Permanente, they were telling us that the average they collect from any community center, the average that they collect from other places, is 40. And ours was double that amount. So inshallah, my hope and my plan inshallah ta'ala is for us to beat that inshallah next time, and maybe double that next time we have this event. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from those who gave and those who attempted to give and those who... And by the way, you can still go and give on your own. You can schedule an appointment. And also the organizers, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it put to a good use. Ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها زكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Because you're pretty much getting paid for what you do. But if your employer comes and says, here's a bonus, here's a little gift, here's a little extra, you're going to go like, what did I do to deserve this? Well, I see that you're a hard-working person. Here's a little bit extra. And they continue to do that. Go out of their way to make you feel better about yourself and about your job. Like Google. They provide you this environment where they give you extras and extras. What happens? You're going to love that employer. You're going to love that employer. Extra. When you do extra for the sake of Allah, out of love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. Not that Allah needs it like we need to be paid and we need the compensation. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this is a sincere gesture on your part, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who love Him. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you get to do that, then Allah, know that Allah has loved you before He loved Him. The fifth element that will help purify our soul or our heart, soften our heart, rather, is the remembrance of death. And I know this is not a pleasant topic, and no one wants to, remembrance of death. You know, this is very ironic how we try to escape this fact. We try to avoid thinking about it, like we're going to live forever, like we're going to escape death somehow, that we're going to fool death. It will not happen. It never happened, and everyone shall die. This is a fact. There is no dispute. Even atheists, those who don't believe in Akhirah, those who don't believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, everybody knows that they're going to die one day. Sooner or later. So, remembering it is better for us. It will soften our hearts. And you know, it's very obvious why it does that. But Abu Darda said, تذكر الموت وزيارة القبور قال أبو الدرداء من أكثر ذكر الموت قل فرحه وقل حسده. Here's how it heals the heart. He said, Abu Darda said, whosoever remembers death a lot, right, he will these moments of joy that usually distract us and make us forget about the reality of life, that will decrease, because you will remember that, you'll become more serious, right? It will increase his level of seriousness. And he said, وَقَلَّ حَسَدُهُ, and it will reduce jealousy. You will not be jealous or envious of people. Because you know, we're all going to die. There is no reason to be jealous. All of this is gone. Everything that we have is going to be gone. And part of what reminds us of death is to participate in janazah, but not only that, but also to go to the graveyard and visit. Do it. I urge you, I suggest that you do this. Go, of course we have one of the most, you know, well-organized graveyards. The cemetery here at Westminster. I suggest that you go one day. You might want to take a little pad with you, just to write how you're feeling. Go and reflect. Go and look at the headstones. I'm sure that you will run into someone who has the same year, the same birth year as you. It's a great reminder, by the way. Just look at the headstone. And maybe the exact same day. Someone who was born on the same day. You will find people who are younger than you. And you'll also find people who are older than you. I think the oldest one buried there, if I remember correctly, was, I think, a lady who was 102 years old. She ended up there at the same place as one who lived 1 month. This is the end of it. This is the reality of life. This will soften your heart. I say this and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to soften our hearts and make us of those who listen and follow the best of what they listen to. أقول هذا القول أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. الأمر السادس من الأمور التي ترقق القلب وتزكيه وتطهره الإكثار من التوبة والإنابة إلى الله عز وجل والاستغفار وعدم الإصرار على الذنب. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله صدأ القلب بأمرين بالغفلة والذنب وجلاؤه بشيئين بالاستغفار والذكر. وفي حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن العبد إذا أخطأ خطيئة نكت في قلبه نكتة سوداء أو نكتة سوداء فإذا هو نزع واستغفر وتاب صقل قلبه وإن عاد زيد فيها حتى تعلو قلبه وهو الران الذي ذكره الله عز وجل
كلا بران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون. The sixth element is seeking forgiveness and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim said that the hearts rust. They rust. There is this build-up that takes place, and if it continues to happen, it will ruin the heart or kill it. So he said, and the way to basically purify the heart, the way to polish it, is through seeking forgiveness from Allah and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Hurairah tells us in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that when we commit sins, there it leaves a mark, a spot on the heart. The heart is spotted with a dark spot. And if we continue to do more sins, it will cover up the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Ayah 14. Right? So he said the way to counter that is by seeking forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal, because that will purify the heart. The seventh element is being in the company of the righteous, of righteous people and pious people. الأمر السابع مجالسة الصالحين ومصاحبة أهل التقى. To be in the company of those people, there are some people that when you are in their company, they bring the best out of you. Right? Your heart softens. Those type of people, you need to hang out with them. As opposed to those people that you think are fun to be around, you go kicking it with them, but there will come a day where they're going to kick you out of their lives. And there will come a day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that close friends will be enemies of one another, pointing fingers at each other, pressing charges at each other, coming at each other's throats. Oh, they're going to forget all these hookah gatherings that they had. They're going to come at each other's throats on the day of judgment, seeking a good deed from each other. Oh, he's the one that ruined me. He's the one that gave me that idea. He's the one that distracted me. We do it in this life. When people end up in court or they end up getting in trouble, they point fingers at other people. Imagine what will happen on the day of judgment. That's why it's going to take a long time. 50,000 years is the length of the day of judgment. People making all kinds of claims against each other. But Allah says that they will be declared enemies of one another. الْأَخِلَّاءُ بَعْضُهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. That they will be enemies of one another except those of piety, except pious people. So you might as well surround yourself with as many pious people as possible. People that when you see them, it softens your hearts and it reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let alone talk to them. Now, if you don't have enough of those people, if you don't have some of those people around you, one of the ways to do it is to read in the seerah, in the lives, to look into the lives and the history of the pious people and the scholars of the past. النظر في سير العلماء وصحبة الصالحين. قال جعفر بن سليمان كنت إذا وجدت من قلبي قسوة غدوت فنظرت إلى وجه محمد بن واسع الأزدي رحمه الله. جعفر بن سليمان said that I used to, whenever I feel that my heart is getting hard, I would go and I would just look and stare at Muhammad ibn Wasi'. He was one of the greatest scholars. Rahimahullah ta'ala. A man of great virtues. Just looking at, sitting with him. That will increase my iman. الأمر الثامن هو الزهد في الدنيا والتأمل في قصرها وتغير أحوالها والرغبة فيما عند الله من النعيم. الأمر التاسع وهو سبيل من السبل العملية زيارة المرضى وأهل البلاء ومشاهدة المحتضرين والاتعاظ بحالهم. ثم الأمر العاشر وهو الأهم سؤال الله عز وجل الهداية ودعاؤه والابتهال إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى ورجاؤه. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو اللهم اهدني اللهم سددني. وكان من دعائه صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم آت نفسي تقواها زكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. There are three more elements left. The eighth element is to refrain from dunya and to remember how short this life is and not indulge into it and only get of it as much as you need.
I tell you, dunya is very distracting. It's overwhelming, by the way. And here's, dunya is indeed darul ghurub. It's the home of deception. It deceives you. It tells you, oh, you can get a lot of me. Come here, chase me. And you chase dunya, and it wears you out, and you get out of it with nothing. You don't get except that which Allah has written for you already. Right? It exhausts you. In fact, dunya sometimes comes and tempts us through all kinds of means and outlets and, right? All kinds of means. Oh, you want dunya? You want a secure future? You know, do this. So now you exhaust yourself in order to have a comfortable future or retirement in this life. You'll be too exhausted, you'll be worn out by them that you don't get to enjoy it. And at the end, if you enjoy it, so what? How many years are you going to enjoy it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِن مَتَّعْنَاهُمْ سِنِينَ ثُمَّ جَاءَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُمَتَّعُونَ. What if they enjoy it for a few years? And then comes to them that which they were promised. How will whatever they enjoyed will avail them? How is it going to benefit them? Nothing. It's all gone. Someone was telling me, subhanAllah, I think it was in this masjid about a couple of years ago, that one of the wealthiest people in his hometown basically, worked so hard on to become successful, but he didn't get a chance. Dunya distracted him. That the day then one day I think he had a heart attack or he had something, and he knew it was it. So as they were taking him out to the ambulance, he turned around, looked at his palace, this big huge villa that he had, and he started spitting in that direction in disgust, as if he's saying, I worked too hard for you, and now nothing. This is it. The ninth element is to visit sick people and people who are, suffering, or people who are dying, to visit. It's a great reminder. It's a great reminder of the bounties and the blessings that we have, so that we can take advantage of that. And also that one day we'll end up in their place. And number 10, which is the most important, is to beg Allah Azza wa Jal and to ask of Allah Azza wa Jal, to invoke and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften your heart, to soften our hearts. The Prophet ﷺ used to do it. So let us do it and beg Allah Azza wa Jal, because at the end of the day, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us tawfiq, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't help us succeed in that endeavor, nothing will help these hearts. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to purify our hearts, revive our souls, and make us of those who are loved by Him and those who love Him. Brothers and sisters, last week, alhamdulillah, we had a successful event. We had the blood drive. As for those who were questioning or had some confusion about whether it's legitimate, whether it's okay or not Islamically, I can tell you with great level of comfort and confidence, I'm confident 100% that not only is it okay, but it's a virtue. And as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I put it on my Facebook, right? I said that give blood, save life. You save one life, it is as if you saved humanity. And subhanAllah, after I put that, the next day I come to the masjid and we open that book of the hadith that we read from, and it happens that the next section that we were reading from is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran. I have no doubt. It's a great use. And for those who say, oh, we don't know where the blood is going to go, it doesn't matter. It's going to go to a good use, to save a life of a human being. Regardless of that, who that person is. Even a criminal has the right to be saved and then tried. Right? Because it will only be used in desperate situations, whenever someone is dying or someone is in dire need of it. And when someone is in that state, regardless of who they are, It is incumbent. It is mandatory upon us to help them and save them. If you see someone drowning, you're not going to say, "Oh, first of all, let's find out what is your faith and what do you believe in." And you're going to save them, regardless. So it is okay. Besides, the blood that you give will not be used right away. Anyways, it's going to take a while before it's ready to be used. And as I said, you never know. You might end up needing it. You might end up using it yourself. or someone that you really care about. So alhamdulillah, we had a successful event. We had 80 pints collected last week, which is, by the way, is still considered to be a good record. We didn't break our record. Our record was 92. But the organizers or the co-sponsors, Kaiser Permanente, they were telling us that the average they collect from any community center, the average that they collect from other places is 40. And ours was double that amount. So inshallah, my hope and my plan inshallah ta'ala is for us to beat that inshallah next time, and maybe double that next time we have this event. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from those who gave, and those who attempted to give, and those who... And by the way, you can still go and give on your own. You can schedule an appointment. And also the organizers, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it put to good use. Ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها زكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون